With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to your post-match Raw on Anfield Index Pro. I am still podcasting to you from my field here in beautiful rural Ireland, and I am still Trev Downey, joined today to give their immediate reactions to West Ham 2, Liverpool 2 in the Premier League from London Stadium, our Guy Drinkle and Jim Boardman. There's lots to talk about, Guy. It's all pretty miserable stuff, if we're being perfectly honest about it. Even the most positive of people will now surely have given up the ghost in terms of any late joy in this season. It was probably effectively done long before that, but you can't fault optimism. It just is going out in that whimper of a way that we've become accustomed to, Guy. It's starting to get familiar now, this field, this very underwhelming, sort of downbeat, underperforming. And it just seems an undignified way for all of this to end.
Well, that's the thing, Trev. If I wasn't on this podcast, I wouldn't have watched. That's how I feel. I wouldn't have watched the game. I didn't react to any of the goals. Like, the Everton game, I was pissed off. Today, they scored both their goals. I just kind of shrugged, even our goals, and just like, yeah, cool, we'll get top four, nice. That was basically my feeling throughout the game. Like, usually I try and take detailed notes watching this. My highlight of that game was watching TikTok at halftime.
Why? What was there?
There was a beaver eating some food.
Tremendous. I'm already
going to say something else then, but
yeah, family friendly act, Jim.
Yeah, exactly. We are pre watershed. I think, to be honest, I've nothing but sympathy and empathy for anyone who's looking for distraction from this, because it does feel like the kind of car wreck, Jim, from which we cannot tear our morbid gaze, because we would all love to do, as Guy suggests, a sort of an opt-out, at least emotionally. I mean, you can go through the emotions of watching the game, and I totally get what Guy's saying there about shrugging as things were happening today, because, you know, especially when they were going against us, it was like, well, I guess this is how it's going to be. And I just don't think there needed to be this inevitability to this. There were things that could have been done and steps that could have been taken. And it feels like a missed opportunity to at least finish with some sort of dignity. It's like we're just trying to force the same square pegs into the same round holes, continuing with the same sort of stubborn mindset and how to approach a game. And you know what they say about expecting different results when you keep repeating the same action, Jim.
Yeah, that's it. It's been the story of the season that we start games slowly. We don't, you know, we sort of get to a point where we're getting a lot of the ball, a lot of control of the game. We're not really doing a lot with the ball. When we're getting chances, we're not getting them in. It's kind of been all season. And it just gets to a point where eventually you'll switch off. You see them switch off long enough. And sometimes it happens a few times in a game, and it might only be for spells of 5 minutes, but it's as if a side just knows, just wait. We'll switch off. Just wait for your chance. Because all we're doing is we're kind of focusing on going forward, maybe overthinking the going forward and completely underthinking what's going on at the back. It just feels like, you know, it just feels inevitable. And I totally get what Guy says about, you know, wishing, you know, if, like, as you say, if you weren't having to do anything, if you weren't working with football, you'd be out on a walk or something today, wouldn't you? A nice spring walk somewhere. Forget about football. You might just have a glance at the results later on, but you wouldn't really be one of watching it. And so thanks to everyone who's listening, by the way, because, you know, putting yourselves through this with us, we do appreciate it. I personally given up on the league after the Crystal Palace loss. I was already thinking it was tenuous at that point, but, you know, being a Liverpool fan, you've got a dream, haven't you? And I was dreaming it's still possible. But I'd given up at that point. And really, I think, I don't know. I don't know whether the team have given up themselves or whether they're still kind of getting pressured by it. And it just feels like everything is just a whole load of conflict in how we are. But it's too late, isn't it? It's too late to change things. It's too late to change how you deal with players. No doubt we'll come to it later on. But, you know, if a player's not playing well, you drop them. And if you drop them, they should know that they've been dropped deservedly so, and that they need to show well in training, show well when they get the chances to come on and try and fight for the place back. But I don't feel like there's any kind of threat from Klopp that he can give that now. You know, it's not, whether he could before is a different matter. But right now, no one's asked, are they? It's like the last few games of the season. They're all probably meaningless. It's just about sending a manager off. The only reason, and this is where the disappointment comes in, it's your chance, if you like, to either put yourself in the shop window because the new manager is going to come in and might not want you, or a chance for you to show the new manager, whose analysts are no doubt now pouring through loads of Liverpool footage, but especially recently, do something to impress him, do something to show him that you're worth hanging on to. Either way, even though you might think you're not playing for Klopp and you're not playing for your future under him, in a way you are, but you look at them and it's like, I mean, they're all on the beach, they've all given up. Other than a couple of notable mentions here and there. You know, I think Robbo is looking match fit now and looking up for it. So I was pleased to see most of his game today. Gravenberch is a revelation, whether that's because of the Dutchman coming in and he finally thinks he might get what he wants, I don't know, but good to see him playing well. And Diaz of late has been one of our most hard-working players. And I think what Diaz does is what any Liverpool fan wants any Liverpool player to do. Whatever skill they've got, that's what they've got. You know, they're born with whatever skill, they've honed it over the years. But when they're on that pitch, that's as good as they are. But they can be even better when they put everything into it. And when you see a player putting everything into it, you'll let them off for missing goals, you'll let them off for missing chances, for bad passes, because you know that they're doing the best. They're really putting everything into it. And, you know, for the last few games, how many players can you kind of list who you would say have really done the best? If you were dishing out bonuses, that would get the bonus off you for hard work, there's not many.
Yeah, the one guy who was charging around and made himself a Liverpool fan favourite in that way for many, many weeks and months was Darwin Nunez, and that has fallen off a cliff from him. And it is that Dirk Kuyt effect. You know, it's the you are what you are, as you say, Jim, but it's the level of effort will be the thing that the fans will appreciate most. And there's a time and a place for that, and it can, I understand, sometimes be seen almost as a sort of semi, cozy, almost loser type mentality. If you embrace that wholly, we're not talking about that. We're talking about being able to enjoy players who are trying at their maximum and happen to be excellent as well, which is what we've had for a lot of the season. And it's just a shame to see it, the wheels come off so spectacularly. And it feels, like I said a couple of times recently, a little bit redundant to do too much by way of formula here, because it does feel as if we're watching a season sort of implode in front of us, because we are. It does seem as if we're watching a lot of hope vanish in front of us, because we are. All this potentiality that is just evaporating, and it's sad. And you said it, Jim, part of it was about seeing the manager off, and I think when it ceased to be a thing, maybe the exhaustion, the emotional exhaustion, is starting to show. And now all of the ugliness, insecurity that individuals will have is perhaps on display. And we should probably address immediately a little thing that people will be talking about in the aftermath, because if they haven't seen it, they'll get to see it several million times, because the media will make sure that they do. What they didn't make a good job of was cutting together the footage that they actually had today. And so I was left asking a simple question. Why is it that Mo Salah and Jurgen Klopp seem to be falling out? And it's, you know, left as a mystery, and we're all interpreting it. And it's not really a mystery at all, because I made myself go back and watch the second goal that we conceded, which, you know, started with, if we're being perfectly honest, Ali flapping at something and then making a wonder save, and then they have their tails up. Before you know it, we've invited a cross. And of course, if you cross against Liverpool at the moment, you will score. And it's just a little bit of a shame that in the immediate aftermath of the Antonio goal celebration, it cuts to the sideline, and you can see what the story is. David Moyes, for good or bad, I'm sure it's entirely harmless on both men's part, is having a bit of a smile with Mo Salah. And Mo is, like, obviously probably not really wanting to engage with it, but a polite engagement. And it's at that point that Jurgen stalks over. That's the timeline of events that we actually didn't get to see. And so you can understand probably what the motivation was behind Klopp's irritation. You can understand the motivation behind Mo's irritation. I don't think we need to start getting all Poirot on the fucking thing. Everybody's disgusted. Everybody's brokenhearted at the lack of achievement when so much seemed possible. It's probably not worthy going on about it past that, Jim, although I don't want to drop the ball. So if you think there's anything worth mentioning, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about it now as opposed to later on the show when it'll seem redundant, and then I'll bring Guy in to segue into the next chunk of the match on it as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, before kickoff, when I saw the lineup, I actually thought, and I was actually listening to BT talking, TNT, whatever you want to call them, Fletch and his mates talking about stuff and saying, five changes. And they kept going on about the stats about how many Klopp's made the most changes on average per game this season of five, with no sort of context about the sort of injury crisis that's riddled most of Liverpool's season, and the fact that they've been playing two games a week, and that a lot of the time they're playing on BT, TNT at a 12:30 kickoff. You know, none of that mentioned. So, but I did think, you know, Salah, of all the players who you could class as being dropped, was one of them you could class as being dropped rather than rotated, because he's just not been great lately, and he's not the only one. And so when I did see this incident later on, I'm thinking, oh God, here we go. He's fuming that he's been left out of the side. He's only coming on late. But of course, what's happened, it's been framed wrong, hasn't it? Because the way it came across on TNT, the way I thought they talked about it was that it had happened before the equaliser. So they were already arguing before the equaliser, in which case that sounds much worse than everyone's angry because we've just had a goal gone against us. You know, I'd expect people to be angry when we just had a goal against us. It's not as bad as it sounds. And just a note I wrote down in the middle of the game, there's been a lot of talk lately because of Forrest and what they said about biased officials and whether you can say officials are biased. I mean, I don't think anyone disagrees we can say they're awful, but, you know, there's all this talk about bias. Why on earth? It's hard not to think that Fletch is extremely anti-Liverpool, and I know we can be a bit paranoid with these things. I mean, we hounded Martin Tyler off the screens in the end, but you know, I don't think I'm being paranoid. He just comes across as, I mean, he talks about, there's no commentator, he's had the most meaningless stats of any commentator in Premier League history, this man, and he finds every single one he can just to seemingly do Liverpool down in some way. Now, I'd written that down on 19 minutes. Talk about biased officials. What about biased commentators? I don't even know what he'd said at the time, but there must have been stuff going on. And there is. It was all through the game. There was that with the commentary team. So it's no surprise that when this happened, it was right. Let's twist this. Let's sensationalize it. Let's make assumptions and let's make it sound worse. Let's ruin Klopp's last few games. Let's make him out to be some big argument going on, when what we really want to hear is that, yeah, there was frustration, but they're all still mates. And it doesn't surprise me with TNT. And I think, I don't know, they've got worse over the years. They started out really, really trying hard, I think, BT. I mean, even I had phone calls off people before they sort of took the rights over, because they wanted to make sure they did it right and wanted to listen to fans. I don't think they listen to fans anymore. And I think they just listen to themselves. And I think their coverage has gone downhill. And I know we've not lost. I know we've lost points today. I know we've had a bad season. I know I'm going to feel bad. But I absolutely hate waiting when I find out that we're on TNT. And I think if what you said's right compared to what they reported, that needs calling out. And that needs more attention than whatever the hell it was with Salah and Klopp, which, let's face it, if two big names in a Liverpool side aren't angry when we've just conceded, why are they here? They're going to be angry. So,
yeah,
I'm fuming about that if that's the case. And I think, well, and it is. I mean, I trust you. I don't trust them.
It's live timeline stuff if they're cutting away from the goal to show that interaction. So whether or not that is the reason, I can't see Mo having a big laugh after the fallout with Klopp, if you understand what I'm saying. So yeah. I'm fairly sure things happened in that chronological order, and that probably would explain some of it. But the thing about it is, Guy, and you know, Jim's right here with everything he's saying. It is almost like an afterthought. But the thing he mentions with Fletch and Ali McCoist here today, it turns out that Fletch may well be a closet West Ham fan, because in injury time, when Darwin swings over across from the right-hand side, Fletch gets quite heightened in his commentary, and McCoist kind of calls him out on him and says, you seem to have gotten a bit excited there. And he says, did I give the game away, basically? And I'm wondering, what are they not saying here? Mm. So perhaps there is something to that. Guy, do you want to, have you anything to add to the whole temper tantrum nonsense that you think might be insightful, or that you want to get off your chest?
We've seen numerous players have little spats with Klopp in the past. We've seen Henderson have one, having Milner in literally the same fixture last season, two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? They're both likely leaving in a few weeks' time. I don't want Salah to leave. Klopp is leaving. But they're both probably leaving. It's going to mean nothing. And people just immediately, you've seen them already slagging off Salah. It's like, fucking grow up.
Yeah,
it's two lads in a very high-pressure situation where they've both been fucking appalling at their jobs for weeks now. They're probably just a bit pissed off in general. Who gives a fuck?
I think that's the right way to frame it up, because that's literally all that matters, is that level of reaction to it. It hasn't had any bearing on anything that's been happening around the place. As you say, we've had a falling off in standards across the board that has been fucking monumental, if we're being honest. To the extent that you're watching a team there and you don't know who or what you're watching a lad like Dom Szoboszlai run around lately and go, hang on, were you not our best player in the early goings? You're watching Mo Salah and you're thinking, did you not used to score goals? I'm fairly sure you used to score goals. You're watching Jurgen Klopp and you're thinking, I remember you used to make good calls. And it's just uniform across the board. And whatever the reason for the malaise is, it's probably really obvious if we, I don't think it needs over analysis. The bottom line is we are getting these shitty results, which has seen us go out of two cups and now, well, not just now, but in recent weeks as well, the last three couple of league games, we've seen ourselves and our league title fade away to nothing. And now it's really going to be a matter of making sure that we maintain that third position outright for what it's worth. And that's a weird and depressing chat to be having in and of itself. But look, we'll do ourselves the courtesy of being as professional as we can. We'll talk a little bit about how he went today. And Guy, I'll start with you on this one, because The lineup of Alisson, Trent, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, and Robertson shows just one change. That's it. Kwanzaa in for Ibu. McAllister, Endo, and Gravenberch is one that a lot of people will have raised their eyebrows at, because an awful lot of people don't rate Gravenberch. Endo has been, again, very much an impersonation of himself, or of the best version of himself, in recent weeks. And McAllister is, you know, if anyone deserves a rest, it's him. Elliot, Gakpo, and Diaz, again, will raise eyebrows, because Elliot, from the start, I saw you tweeting something to this effect, has been proven to be not as effective as Elliot off the bench. Gakpo is going to divide player fans' opinions until the end of time, as will Gravenberch, likely. And Diaz, for all Diaz's incredible effort, which Jim has highlighted there, and we have highlighted in each successive match, the bottom line is, when you actually add up the conversion of chances, the assists and goals, those figures aren't as impressive as they should be for a lad of such a high profile. So, yeah, it's sea change is likely. Our bench today, Guy, had Joe Gomez and Konate, Szoboszlai, Nunes, Salah, Jones, Tsimikas, Bacicic, and Kelleher. A very strong bench. And we saw Gomez, Szoboszlai, Nunes, and Salah come on. I don't know whether I have any issues with that team. I understand shaking it up. I understand literally dropping lads for shitty performances or for ineffective performances. There's a narrative that there's some sort of division in within the camp, where the defenders are pointing out the weaknesses of the forwards are pointing out the weaknesses of the defenders. Again, that sounds like media spin to me. What else would you be talking about with a camp where the title challenge is falling away? I don't know. What did you think in terms of the strength of that lineup, the suitability of it given the context? Is there a tacit acceptance in it almost that, you know, we aren't going to challenge for this title? Or is it just a justifiable change?
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
I think it's a bit of all the above, to be a really crap answer. But we played on Wednesday night, and then we got the early kickoff on the Saturday. If that was a Champions League game on the Wednesday night, we literally wouldn't be allowed to do that. So we'll go F ourselves, I presume. Because, you know, one for one team, one for the other. I think it was just rotation. I think if Klopp had his way, he'd probably just try and soldier on with the first team lads. And, I mean, if we're talking about dropping lads, surely Trent would have been one dropped more than anyone, because he was abysmal against Everton, probably the worst on the pitch. So I think it was mostly just rotation. In terms of how I felt, I was all right with it. It's kind of not the team I kind of expected. I thought maybe Maud kind of soldier on, because, as we mentioned, Elliot's not really the greatest when he starts. I mean, he was good when everyone was injured, but that was kind of it in a starting berth. McAllister will never get a rest. He will just die on the pitch. Although, is he suspended now?
I think he may well have hit that mark, yeah.
Lucky bastard. I'd take 10 yellow cards to miss the next game. So he might finally get a rest now. No, I think it was kind of as expected. I think Gakpo, I think Gakpo probably would have started the other day as well, to be fair, if he obviously wasn't going to see the birth of his child. I think the only thing coming at this game is maybe Trent starting, because he was appalling against Everton. But we've seen, especially with no Bradley there, we've seen our team without Trent. And I know the first half was turgid and awful, but imagine if we didn't have someone who could actually pass the ball in the team. It would have been even worse somehow. Like, he's not good defensively, but we can't pass the ball forward without Trent. And I know Dave especially was talking about Hollywood passes and stuff the other day. It's our tactic. Whether you agree it's a good tactic or not, and it's kind of a coach, let's say, running out of ideas, which I think it kind of is.
Yeah.
It's our only tactic. He's the only one who's creating chances or creating opportunities or getting the ball from defence to attack. It's the only thing we've got, so we can't really drop Trent, especially when Bradley's not there. So I wouldn't have started Trent, but I think you have to start Trent because our entire system is Trent. It's a catch 22 and we're kind of stuck in the middle. It's not fun either way.
Do you think there's a good chance, Jim, to pick up on this point that Guy's introduced, that one of the major changes we're going to see under Arne, I believe you pronounce it Schlott, is going to be the rejigging of our, you know, solitary tactic of going through Trent as playmaker? Because it can be incredibly tedious when it's not working. It can be incredibly tedious and bad for the team when Trent isn't working in terms of his performance. It's very one note, if we're being honest, as well. We've talked at length about the ways it opens us up when we are being counterattacked against and all that type of thing. We've talked about what it does to the knock-on effect on Mo Salah's involvement in the game, where he's maintaining with and therefore not involved to the extent he used to be. It's something I'd love to see absolutely binned. And I'm kind of hoping that that might be one of the reboot measures that will occur. I have this sneaking fear, that perhaps our lot have gone out and said, who's the best guy to get who can work with the most amount of the players that we currently have? If you know what I'm saying, Jim, and therefore I have that sort of inkling or angst rather that it might be someone taken in so that they can maximize the squad and therefore maximize the potential of the squad. And therefore, oh my God, are we going to continue with the tactics of the previous regime? I'm hoping that's not the case, but you can see where the suspicion might come in.
Oh yeah, and you know, I think that's 100%. If I was asked a month ago, I'd have probably said the same thing now about why will Liverpool pick a particular manager. And one of the things would be that they want a manager who can accept that the budget is not going to be massive for Liverpool. They're not going to break any remote sign of breaking any FFP type rules or profit and sustainability rules. And I know that's frustrating for fans and for fans who think it's convenient for FSG, but regardless of what the philosophy is behind it, we know that Liverpool are not going to be spending loads and loads of money without bringing loads and loads of money in from other players. And the best way a new manager is going to get a budget for more players is to let some of the existing ones go. And, you know, that has to be for the right amount of money. So we might see some go. But what I think Slot's done that the other managers maybe haven't, maybe one thing that sets him out over the others, and this is based on what other people tell me, what other things I've read, in some ways what Dirk Kuyt told The Athletic, is that he's the kind of manager that can do well with young players as well. And I think this is one of the key things we've got at the moment, is we've got a lot of young players. We've seen minutes from them at times this season because of injuries, maybe not as many minutes recently as we would have liked, because let's face it, we played better when we were relying on a few youngsters in the side. But those youngsters are there, but they're not the finished product yet. They still need a lot of work doing. They still need guidance and just moulding and shaping in the right way. And I think that's something that Slot gives us. And it's not so much, or should give us, it's not so much the working with the established names maybe that was in mind. It's more these young players who are going to come through, because you can get a few of those coming through. Then what bit of money you do leave over for transfers, what bit of money that does come in, you can make the sort of keynote signings like we made, that, you know, when we sold Coutinho and players like that, and when we brought in the likes of Ali and Virgil, you know, we've not, we're not oil rich, so we're not going to fill a whole squad with players of that kind of caliber at that kind of cost. But if we can bring some through, then I think we can be successful. And that's what sounds good about him. And I think he has his own way of playing. I think that was another thing I've seen in a few places. People have said, does he play like Pep? Does he play like Klopp? Does he play like whoever? No, he plays his own way. In which, you know, and that by the sounds of it is adaptable as well. And that's the thing. Now, for a long time, we had Trent and Robbo as sort of the main assist makers for our team. They were forever assisting, you know, all the stuff that was happening with the strikers we had at the time. Maybe in the midfield we had at the time, you sort of knew that with them two, they could put the crosses in, they could put the corners in, they could get the balls into the box that we'd score from, get the balls through over the back line that we'd score from. And it worked and it worked and it worked. And then it stopped. At the moment, what we're doing with Trent, I mean, I just think people suss out what you can do. Clubs have banks of analysts and hours and hours and hours of video information and data that they can look at to come up with a plan to play a team. And if you're coming up with a plan to play against Liverpool, you've not got a lot of things to think about to come into the Liverpool game. You've not got a lot of things to drill into your players. Someone who worked in football said to me once, the thing about most footballers is that they're thick. Now, it was quite abrupt, but what he meant. And, you know, it's literally, you can't give footballers a load of instructions for a game. You've got to kind of give them a handful of instructions for a game. Some of it's instinctive. Some of it's what you do every week. And you add on some extra bits for who you're playing. So what a weapon it would be for Liverpool if we could just vary things up a bit, just mix things up a bit, just do things in different ways. So yeah, the stuff you're talking about, if that's something we did from time to time in a game, that would be great. But that shouldn't be the only thing we do, because if that's the only thing you're doing, it's an easy job for the other side, isn't it? It's easy job for the other side to stick a whiteboard up or whatever with some magnetic board, stick a few counters on, draw some lines with a marker pen, put it in as simple terms as they can to the players. There you go. And they're like, yeah, we can do that. And off you go. You've sorted it. And I think that's what we need. Well, you've got to sort of balance that with the complexity of your own players, because you can't baffle them too much either, because they're a bit thick potentially. So you're not going to give them too much information. But I think that's the thing I'm thinking. I think Klopp's leaving us with one of the best squads that any outgoing manager has left us with. Or Klopp's leaving as we've got one of the best squads. I think the new guy's coming into one of the strongest squads. It's probably since Kenny Dalglish joined the first time that anyone has come into a Liverpool squad as good as that as a new manager. But it's not finished. It's a long way short of that. He can bring some of his own knowledge, his own players. He can move some players out. And he can fix some of the things that we couldn't fix, you know. They're not bad players. For the whole season, up until a month ago, we would not be this demoralised about these players. So there's something in there, but obviously there's something not quite right, and we need to get that fixed. Sooner or later, we'll get that fixed. And I think the new guy coming in could be the one to do it. And it might be that, you know, we've got to accept that some players, their time is up. I mean, Mo Salah has been an absolute revelation. And just because of today and the last couple of games, nobody should be rewriting his history, because he's been an amazing player for us. But, you know, something Bob Paisley was a master at was spotting when players were past the best and when it was time to get rid of them, while there was still some money to get for them, still some value in them. Let them decline somewhere else. You know, let them come back later as legends after the career. Don't let us fall out with them while they're in the career. So I think Salah could be one of them, but he's not the only one. And to be fair to Trent, I thought he did well at times today. But again, it's not 100% good, is it? It's not 100% of the game. And everything we're saying about these players today, even when I'm praising Gravenberch, I'm doing it in a trying to be positive to Gravenberch, because I've been awful to him all season way. I can't be 100% happy with him today, but it was an improvement. And I think that's the problem. There's too many games where we can praise the players and then end it with a but. Or we can say, as before we praise them, we've just said something and we're saying, but at least he did this. And there's not anyone that we can really out and out game after game say being top of the game.
Guy, there's something I wanted to bring up with you just before we go on, and we'll look at the match for what it's worth, and it will bring a couple of little stories with it, enjoyable diversions, like looking at what an absolute gobshite Anthony Taylor is, for example. But if we're to be honest, there's a huge amount of chat. It's all a bit raw with all of us, this whole news and the recent news of Schlott being the man. What I can't get my head around, honestly, is the absolute faith that I read and I hear from so many friends and colleagues in the new Michael Edwards regime. It's absolute, and it's coming from a place of, look, whatever else happens, at least we know we're going to be well run and this and that and the other. And maybe it's just me, Guy. And it actually absolutely is just me. But I'm finding it hard to take that level of calm reassurance, because the upheaval is such that it doesn't make me happy. I'm not the kind of guy who goes home and looks at Liverpool's spreadsheets and feels cozy and warm. I'm not the kind of guy who takes solace in the fact that we're a well-run club. It doesn't make me happy. Trophies make me happy. And I don't have this same level of certainty, complete certitude, that so many people seem to have around this new era that is about to start. How are you on that? Because I know you've been a little bit underwhelmed about the appointment of Slot as well, possibly for the same reasons as me, maybe your own. I'm just anxious to get your take on it, because it does frame up the rest of our chat today.
To be honest, Trev, I'm just skeptical of anything from the Dutch league. Like, it's not canon. It does, like, in the universe of football, it doesn't make sense. Like, you look at the manager, like, Dave's gone on about the managers coming from there, and you obviously have greats like Louis van Gaal, Cruyff, yada, yada, yada. I can't, like, just look across to our rivals. Erik ten Hag is, like, one of the best Ajax managers in modern history. And if you were to name people I'd want at Liverpool as manager, I would probably have Roy Hodgson above Erik ten Hag. Like, genuinely. So that's kind of where I am. Now, he may be completely different, obviously. But the Eredivisie is just such an uninspiring league. Like, it's probably closer to the Championship than the Premier League. It really is. It's not inspiring. That's the way I'm looking at it. But in terms of, like, we don't know how good Edwards really is. We know how good Klopp really is. We know how good Edwards is with Klopp at the club. If he's in charge and the manager doesn't work out, are these signings that are a bit magical, are they going to turn into the next Mo Salah if your manager isn't Jurgen Klopp? Is it going to turn into... I mean, let's use Bobby Firmino. If the manager, if Edwards finds this gem from Hoffenheim in the Bundesliga, and then the manager doesn't take to him and starts playing as a right wing back, it doesn't matter how good you are at finding players. The manager's got to be good enough. It's obviously very, very early to say Schlott's not going to be as good as Jurgen Klopp. He just isn't. He can't be. Like, look what Klopp's done. Look what Klopp's fought against in this league. Now, Klopp's leaving us in a better spot than what Klopp came into when Brendan Rodgers had us on a dumpster fire. But it's just uninspiring. Maybe it's a mix of Klopp going, the fact that we're really, really, really shit for a month and a half now. It just feels like the end of something. It doesn't even feel like what 15, 16, 16, 17 were, because there was a sense of vigour and this is the new beginning, where this feels like it's the... How do I word it? We've all banged on about, well, not we, because I hate this, LFC 2.0 and all that bollocks. It kind of feels like that LFC 2.0, it's just kind of a stupid catchphrase, vox pop bollocks, that's been popped out this season. And next season, it really is LFC, a new LFC. That's what it kind of feels like to me. Maybe not tactical. Well, maybe it is tactically, because if it goes back to Klopp in the early years, that is a refresh of some kinds, but it just, I don't know. I just feel kind of underwhelmed, but it might just be the mix of us being crap at the minute, because before the international break, even maybe before the Man United FA Cup clash, I was sat there like, we should win this league. Look at our fixtures, this shit. We'll win enough here.
Yeah.
And then after, especially the United League game, you're like, oh, no. No. And then you're like, and then we have Everton. That'll be horrendous. And I think Jim mentioned at the Crystal Palace game, it was for him. It's like, yeah. As soon as we lost a game at home, it was like, this isn't right. Something's gone to shit.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.